The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland on a numbers game where sports betting lives. It's happening. You good?
I'm good, man. I like that. It's a new little catchphrase for us. I like that.
What's that?
Where sports betting lives.
You know, I've been saying that for years.
Okay.
There was a hip-hop station in New York City. I want to say it was, I can't remember what the station was, but they said where hip-hop lives, and I always thought that was cool. So I just say where sports betting lives.
Boom.
Boom. I don't know what that means. by the way, Kelly Billy, can I just say this? Tomorrow on the show, we'll start with tomorrow.
Let's start with tomorrow.
Dr. Bob, who releases his college football season win totals, he has been spectacular throughout his career doing college football season win totals. He will join us, as will former Super Contest winner James Salinas will join us here at the table. Of course, crack as well on a Thursday. And then Friday sushi. That's all you need to know
Friday
about sushi.
Friday sushi.
Today on the show, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, who's our senior NBA analyst, but will be here to talk both Major League Baseball and college football with us, co-host of VSiN Prime Time. He will join us coming up on the show. Will Hill will as well with all of his plays, as will Jason Weingarten. And Sia Najad will join us from the Monumental Sports Network in D.C., in the DMV, as the kids call it. Talk BMW Championship with us and National Football League. He's got some sneaky, freaky AFC teams that he believes will rise this year. I almost said AFL.
That would be
interesting.
It's
like 1963 up in here. So he will be there. And you will have some BMW thoughts as well.
Yep.
May I just say this about you? Because we didn't bring this up, and I just saw a glimpse behind your sort of stream of consciousness. Kelly Bidlin, the man known for the pronounced arm swing, his peculiar enjoyment of Flex Seal products, and also the author of a freezing cold take back in the day where he said he was very sorry, but Chris Singleton was going to have a better career than Kawhi Leonard. He noticed on the Pat McAfee show.
That's well done.
Thank you very much. You noticed on the Pat McAfee first three things that came to mind.
I think that went for a lot of people.
This is what I describe. People are like, what is Kelly a nice guy? Well, let me tell you about Kelly. You believe that Pat McAfee on his show purposely, the producers of this show purposely tell their guests to have not orthodox camera setups. And this is like inside baseball.
You know, this is very inside TV, but yes, I it's been intriguing me ever since they started the show over on ESPN. We know that we know how professional ESPN is. We know how professional remote setups that a lot of these people have because we've seen it on SportsCenter or other ESPN shows. So yeah, I'm assuming yes that on the Pat McAfee show that they tell their guests that we want you in a more natural setting look or something like that.
So even if they say I'm here in the ESPN studios, I can actually be on a real camera. They're like, no.
No, bust out your phone or laptop.
Bust out the phone.
And yeah, because you always kind of get like that upward angle too, right? Like they're looking down at their phone or something like that. They're often in the car too. They're usually in the car.
We do the same thing except unintentionally.
Right, yeah. Ideally, we'd like a nice setup. Sometimes we just don't get that.
Yeah. All right. This is Kelly Billen's thoughts that run through his head during the show. All right. We have gotten lots of calls from everybody, or lots of calls, but lots of tweets from everybody about, hey, have you looked at week one of Survivor? Have you done any of this? By the way, have you entered yet? Have you paid Circus Survivor? Last year, $9.2 million, as the documentary so clearly states, looking for over $10 million. This year, I think they'll get over 10,000 entries, $1,000 per pop. Again, all you got to do, this is, I believe, the fourth. The pandemic year was the first year. So we're talking about the fifth year of Survivor now.
Yeah.
Circa. One pick an entry every week. No spread. That's how Survivor works.
So easy. Just pick a winner.
And you just gotta, you have to remember you can't pick that team again. So essentially what you're doing, the other way to say this in betting terms is you're trying to hit, because they have a Thanksgiving and a Christmas stipulation as well. So you're trying to hit a 20-team money line parlay without using the same team twice. And you look at it that way, it's like, oh, not that easy.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And remember, on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're confined to only a few choices, a few game choices, about, a handful of teams. So You have not gotten in yet this year.
No, I haven't signed up for anything yet. We had Steve the Proxy at 702 Steve Sports on Twitter stop by. He dropped us off a couple of little gifts for us. But I was talking to him before the show because he runs a proxy service now. I'm like, how's it been going? Because I know I haven't signed up for anything yet. And he's like, yeah, ask me in 2 weeks.
That's how it always goes, right?
I think that we're in that period now.
I mean,
how many times have I said? I feel like I've said it on the air 3 times over the past week, where it's like, oh, this is kind of sneaking up on me a little bit more quickly than I was thinking.
Well, it was the same thing, yeah. So I haven't either, but I think it's going to be the same for me: 1 million and then five survivor entries. Probably going to do it that way. So looking at week one, obviously there's a Thursday and a Friday night game. Week one in the National Football League this year. So I think on the Thursday night game, I think you will have a bunch of folks who will just take Baltimore right on the Thursday game, hoping that they can have a leg up and that somehow that upset happens. Kansas City loses. By the way, you can't pick Kansas City because you got Thanksgiving and Christmas where you got to really consider taking Kansas City on one of those two.
Are they one of the ones on both? I think Seattle is as well, right?
Yeah, but in Kansas City's case, like, again, if you just look at the, if you look out to the, you know, the look ahead lines for those two, for those 2 weeks or those two, you know, little flurries of Thanksgiving and Christmas, Kansas City's hosting the Raiders on Thanksgiving and they're at Pittsburgh on Christmas. So they're about as good a proposition. By the way, Dallas also hosting the Giants on Thanksgiving. So they would also be a consideration. Other than those games, not that easy.
Yeah.
Not that easy at all. And keep in mind, I mentioned on Christmas, Kansas City on the road against Pittsburgh.
It's 49ers as well, right? Niners are Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, but who are they? But they're playing tough teams.
It's Ravens on Christmas and Seattle on Thanksgiving. Yeah. At Seattle.
I don't know if I want to touch those.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
So I think there will be some who will take the Ravens on Thursday. Again, if you lose on that, let's say you had the full 10 entries, and that's the max. 10 entries, you know, max in quotes, because people, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, people have workarounds to that where they have more than 10 entries. But if you put all your 10 entries, let's say you're playing at kosher and you lose on the Ravens, you're allowed to re-up.
Yeah.
So people are going to do that. By the way, this is a great thing for boosting contest pools also. You know, I was in this.
I think it's a great strategy. Love the circuit does it.
Yeah.
I don't have the bankroll to do that. I'm not going to be.
You got to have the bankroll to do it. That's absolutely right. But we used to, when I was in this off the grid Ron and Mike East Coast Survivor pool in the NCAA, which, you know, got shut down by the feds, the football version of it did. I didn't organize it, feds. I was just part of it. I was up on the Eastern Seaboard. But that used to be the thing on the first day of March Madness. People would pick upsets early in the day, and then they would just re-up all day long, picking upset up after upset with all the different time slots. So a lot of people will try that. But let's say we're not doing the strategic thing. Let's say we're just analyzing it by games. Which are the survivor picks? Now, the number one is going to be, obviously, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's a 9-point favorite at home against the New England Patriots. There are other opportunities to play the Bengals. And if you are playing this with a game theory from the beginning, you probably don't play the Bengals, knowing that most will, or that they will be the most popular pick, and then you pray for an upset. But you know what, Kelly? Most people, and a lot of people are going to be first-time survivor players, most people are still going to pick Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's going to be the number one pick.
And, you know, they're on my short list. I'm not going to lie to you. They're on my short list of options for week one that I think they are a good option. I do think, though, that there's going to be other times during the year that you're going to want to use them. And also keep in mind, like, I mean, health with the team, Jamar Chase, where are we at with him? Like, this isn't exact. You're not exactly catching Cincinnati probably at their strongest of where they're going to be during the season.
Some people, based on everything we've talked about during the offseason, some people are going to take Atlanta over Pittsburgh. Atlanta's at home. They're only 3-point favorites against Pittsburgh.
I bet it. I bet it. I don't know how heavily I'm considering it for Survivor, but I did bet it.
Some people will. I will not. Because you just never know, right? You just never know on week one. Buffalo's a 6.5-point favorite. They're the second biggest favorite on the board, right? Buffalo's 6.5. Only Cincinnati hosting New England's a bigger favorite. Buffalo's a 6.5-point favorite hosting the Cardinals. Why does that game scare me? Not touching.
I was just brought up the other day. I'm mad I missed out on the 7. It's basically 6, 6.5. Maybe there's another 7 popping. That should be live feeding from DraftKings up on our screen right now. And
I'm down on the Bills this year, so I want no part of this.
Well, we were just discussing yesterday how many injuries they're dealing with heading into week one. And, like, look, that Cardinals offense was pretty dynamic last year when Kyler Murray got back into the lineup. The defense isn't all that great, but, like, I... you're going to give me, you know, 6.5, 7 points of that Cardinals team, I'm kind of interested in that side week one. So I would not be playing Bills in Survivor at all.
Seattle, 5-point favorites hosting Denver. That's also a biggish spread for week one. I am not touching that, even though I love Mike McDonald. I love the possibilities with the Seahawks this year. But as I said when I was talking about them, I think they will improve as the year goes on.
I agree.
So I'm not touching.
I agree. So I think that that line of thinking, it follows along with Cincinnati for me, too, where I'm like, I don't think you're getting them at their best if you play them week one. However, Gil, they are one of the ones that are on my short list.
Here's the one that I think I will have multiple entries on. Maybe not all, maybe all, but certainly multiple. New Orleans is a 4.5-point favorite against Carolina. Again, the spreads don't matter for the purposes of Survivor. Mm-hmm. Just pointing it out as a guardrail. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the way to go, at least my opinion here for me, because I don't think there is a more natural opportunity to take the Saints ever again. And if you buy into the Aaron Schatz thing, you know, where he says the Saints are going to win that division, they're just boring. That's why people sort of take their eyes off the Saints ball, if you will. Does it scare me a little bit? Sure, everything in week one scares me. But I do think I will have multiple entries on the Saints hosting the Panthers.
So they are, I think they're my second favorite. I think where I will likely go week one. Good, there's a chance I end up on the Saints for sure. I completely agree with everything you just said. Buccaneers, I'm staring at with your Commanders.
I knew you were going to say.
And it's just, I'm high on the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. Let me catch him before he gets too good and gets rolling with that offense.
Oh, he may catch you. So what's going to happen, baby? Let's go, Jaden. Get Kelly Bidlin. We'll come back. Football on the other side and baseball as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, Bar Canada, the Barrage here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Only 3 more days of McDonald's here at the D, and then it is tostada.
But who's counting? I thought it was the 26th. Right. I thought it was...
Well, for us, because it's the week. It ends on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 3 more days for
Sunday.
Us. Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough.
Sushi in 2 days, going to be announced. It's not ready for the smoke, according to someone.
Are we going tomorrow night?
I'll call him tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Call him tonight. I think we're going. Me, you, Samich. Oh, I got to ask Matt Brown if he wants to go. Matt Brown doesn't do sushi?
Or we just dip out on... No, I don't know that. All I was saying was I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
Okay. He's very picky, that guy.
Yeah, he's a little picky. He's a little bit more picky than people realize. Yeah.
Mike Samich can appreciate a man who watches what he eats. Mike Samich coming out of Santa Barbara, as can Sia Najad, who has been known to come out of the gym to do appearances on this show. Sia Najad, of course, a host on the Monumental Sports Network out of the DMV, coming courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk golf and football with us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. I'm a little jealous. I want to come to lunch or dinner with you guys as well. I might have to fly out just to tag along.
All right. You're welcome. Come on down.
Tomorrow night, Sia. Get on a flight.
That's right. Get on a flight. Because starting Friday, it could get ugly. Okay, let's start with golf. BMW Championship, second leg of the 3 tournament FedEx Cup events. First of all, do you bet the FedEx Cup market before last week? Do you do any of that?
No, but I will say that, you know, you can still get Scottie Scheffler to win the FedEx Cup playoffs at -115. You all probably may already know that, but it's -130, which makes sense that it's moved. I still like that bet. I still think Scottie's going to end up winning, whether he wins this week or not. And even if Xander overtakes him or wins this week, I like Scottie to win this thing at -130. But I typically, from a future standpoint, I go tournament to tournament. So typically I don't do like a big conglomerate bet.
By the way, do you love how much Scottie hates this whole format? He's like, oh, this is so... He has silly was the word he used. Because he's like, you know, so a whole year of my performance, but then like if I get sick the last weekend, I can lose the season-long FedEx Cup points thing. He hates it.
So I get his argument, but at the same time, like, that's literally every sport in their playoffs. Like, you know, you could have a bad game in the NFL playoffs and get bounced, and you were like the Patriots, you know, when they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, they were clearly the better team all season, and they had one bad day, one bad pass, whatever the case may be, and they lose. I mean, that's the playoff experience.
And it gives other players a chance. Otherwise, it wouldn't be.
I don't love it. I don't love the whole setup. I never really have, but like what Sia brought up, at least that's where it's, if you're trying to design a playoffs, it does actually kind of match other sports in that fashion. So sorry, Scotty, it's not. Yeah. And the PGA Tour already fixes it, right? Like they're starting strokes and these guys that advance, it's already way too baked in. What you've done in the regular season carries over to the playoffs anyways.
What about the BMW, Sia? What do you got?
So what I got is, I think Scotty or Xander is going to win this thing. So what I'm trying to find across all markets, and you can really find this anywhere at this point, is taking a player in the without Scotty Scheffler and Xander Schauffele market. Listen, if you want to take Scotty at plus 300 or Xander at plus 550, I'm not going to argue with you. That's not what I'm doing. I'm actually focusing on that without market, taking those two guys out of it and taking guys like Patrick Cantlay, who right here we see at 16 to 1. You can get him at 12 to 1 in the without Scotty and Xander market. I like him there. I think he's heating up. We know he usually heats up around the FedEx Cup playoffs, but that's actually been borne out over the last four or five tournaments. One hiccup over the last four or five tournaments, but he's been really good. The accuracy can be an issue, but the approach play, the short game, it's all there. And I say accuracy, I mean, lately it's been an issue, but I think he lines up well to maybe finish first here, but certainly maybe second or third behind those two stalwarts in Scotty and Xander. The other guy I like from a more long shot standpoint is Adam Scott. I'm betting him in the without Scotty Xander market as well, and that's 40 to 1. Those are the two guys I'm leaning on.
All right, and you do your typical top 10, top 20 matchups in first round. It can't be a Sia Najad golf segment without a first round leader thought. What do you got?
It sure can't. We're going to go with, speaking of camp, we're going to go with Patrick Cantlay. Listen, it's an uninspiring play. People don't like to back Patrick Cantlay. I just like the momentum he's carrying into this tournament. He's 25 to 1 to be a first round leader. He has a morning tee time, which I think will help. There's going to be some thunderstorms maybe tomorrow that could make things a little interesting, but Patrick Cantlay, 25 to 1. Adam Scott again at 35 to 1. And then I'm going with the long shot. I had him last week, and he was a 12 footer away from tying the first round lead at 60 to 1. It's Taylor Pendrith. Now he's 50 to 1. He's a guy that I don't think can win this tournament, but can get hot for a round, particularly with the putter and the ball striking. So those are my three first round leader.
Okay.
See, is this more of a bet on Morikawa in the matchup, or are you on the full fade Rory train right now as he's stumbling down the to the finish line?
Well, the beauty of that question is it's both. It's truly both. It's Colin Morikawa is playing well. He wasn't great last week, but he's playing well, a great course fit, and Rory's kind of tumbling and stumbling here. I even think if Rory bounces back, I still think Colin Morikawa has the edge here. I think he's the better course fit. I think he's in the better form. So I like Colin minus 110 over Rory. And then that other one, Victor over Ludwig. Victor's playing better. Both of their hiccups are in the around the green department. And so you can cancel each other out on that one. I just think Victor's in much better form. This number minus 120 over Ludwig in a tournament matchup, I think you could play this up to minus 135. That's where I think the number should be.
All right. So in addition to Cantlay and Scott is outright, you've got Cantlay top 10 plus 150. You've got Aaron Ryan, Adam Scott at minus 120 and even money, respectively, top 20 as well. I move it along because I want to talk football because you, and I teased this earlier, you like some AFC teams that many don't have on their radar this year. Explain, sir.
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is the Colts. And I think, you know, you ask that question to all your guests of, you know, what's a bet that you're willing to fade or a team that you're willing to fade that a lot of teams are on. I think the Texans are one of those teams for me, but it's not because I think the Texans are going to be bad. I just think we're underrating the Indianapolis Colts. So the two teams that come to mind for me that have tremendous upside, largely because their team is mostly complete and their quarterbacks have a ton of upside, it's the Cleveland Browns, who are 40 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, and it's the Colts, who I like in the division market at like plus 310, plus 330, wherever you get it. I think the Colts, their interiors are really good. Offensive line, defensive line, I think they're very good. Anthony Richardson, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a problem. Same deal with Jonathan Taylor. They have the skill position players. I think they have enough in that department. Their secondary, not very good, but I think that defensive line can really hide a lot of things with that secondary. And then just moving to the Browns, I mean, listen, where is this team lacking other than potentially at quarterback? Let's remember, Deshaun Watson, of course, had all of those issues, which I think impacted his play, rightfully so. But he also had the shoulder surgery that was a comp. You guys know me. I'm the king of knowing about shoulders, right? Seven full dislocations.
Deshaun Watson had every time he says it. Seven.
Sorry.
And you popped them all in Mel Gibson style?
Yeah, Riggs. Okay.
Yeah. Well, 5 out of 7. 2, I actually needed the emergency room because they were so far out. I get shivers just talking about it right now. But my larger point is, this isn't a normal shoulder surgery that he underwent a couple of years ago. It's a more complex one. And I could see a situation where he's actually more comfortable from a physical standpoint with his arm going into this season, with potentially the best defense in the league, a good offensive line, some weapons on the outside. Like, this is one of those upside situations with both Anthony Richardson and Deshaun Watson, where if they can mirror the small sample size we saw with Anthony Richardson and what we saw, at least 80% of what we saw with Deshaun Watson 3 years ago, these teams can make a huge impact. I think the Browns are alive even to win their division, in spite of the fact that I would be betting the Ravens in that department. I think both those teams are very good and kind of being undersold right now.
Let's do some rapid fire. Quick answers to these. Are the Patriots as bad as everyone believes them to be and as bad as the market suggests they will be? 4.5, their season win total. Yes.
Yes, under.
Are the Steelers going to just absolutely crater like many think they will this year?
Yes. In fact, I liked it when the lines came out. I kind of waffled a little bit, but now I'm back on the Falcons Week 1 money line, or you can take the spread there against the Steelers. I think they're kind of a mess right now.
Are the Eagles going to win the NFC East?
It's a great bet. Minus 120, minus 125. Absolutely love it. Yes.
Wow. I can't find one that he doesn't like here so far. Are the Niners the best team talent-wise, balanced top to bottom in the entire NFL?
Top to bottom, no. I believe it or not, I think the Detroit Lions are right there with them. I think the Lions and the Niners are going to, one of them is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And I think that, like, if you look at the top, but if you look at top to bottom, like top is the Niners. But if you look top to bottom, I think the depth, I think that lies on both sides of the ball with the Detroit Lions.
Surprise team, surprise in quotes. Let's, subjective description of surprise, obviously, but surprise team, according to most, that will make the playoffs in the NFC is?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going Washington Commanders.
There you go, baby. That's what I was leaning towards. See what I guide. See you towards Monumental Sports Network. We'll be happy with that. See you next time we see you on the screen in a sports book. We will absolutely take a photo of that, send it to you at Monumental Sports Network and the work you do at CBS as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Pull on with both.
All right. See you, Najat, everybody. Thank you, Sia. Always great to see you, man.
Thanks, gentlemen. Really appreciate it.
You can follow Sia at Sia Najat, SianEjad, on the old Twitter machine. I'll go back into that Barnwell column, his top 5 to decline, his top 5 to improve, and season wins. What bets we've made on a season win Wednesday. We start the tradition anew. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Are these tweets ready to go again, Kelly? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, I thought they were. Sorry. Sorry, they were ready to go. We were setting a new record.
One is.
On day one. One, I was going to say.
Rebranded if you want.
I'm like a trained dog. I see it on the corner here.
I haven't even sent in the new ones yet because I've been trying to find preseason odds from last year for MVP.
Oh, I see. Look, by the way, let's get back to that MVP discussion before we get to Win Total Wednesdays. MVP Cleve T.A., who is a frequent guest on the show, he gave us parameters on MVP. So again, very basic market, most valuable player of the entire NFL season. And he has broken this down in a way that gives us guardrails. And we should always refer to this when we are betting or thinking about betting an MVP. So 11 straight MVPs. This is from Cleve T.A. on Twitter, C-L-E-V-T-A. 11 straight MVPs and 16 of the last 17 have been quarterbacks. And those teams have averaged over 13 wins per season. That's in the year that we are betting them to win MVP. So again, 11 in a row have been quarterbacks, 16 of the last 17 have quarterbacks, and those teams have averaged over 13 wins. So your MVP bet better correlate with a team that you think is going to be fantastic. No MVP in the last 16 seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins. So if you think they're just going to sneak into a wild card spot like at, you know, 9-8 or 10-7, they ain't winning MVP either. No MVP in the last 16 seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins. And finally, the average preseason win total. This you can absolutely check right now. The average preseason win total for these teams has been 10 wins with a floor of 8.5 wins. So those are Kleeb TA's MVP guardrails, if you will. We brought up somebody off air. Lamar Jackson was also 18-1, along with Brock Purdy. Here's my thing with Lamar Jackson. Is Lamar Jackson going to get to a point with NFL voters? And I know Jokic was a 3-in-a-row thing in the NBA, right? Because Larry Joe Bird, Wilt Chamberlain were the only two guys to win 3 in a row. Was it Wilt or was it Bill Russell who won 3 in a row along with Larry Bird? No, I'm blanking. But I think there was a group of NBA voters that simply did not want to give Nikola Jokic that kind of just, you know, stratosphere air of right. having yes. three yeah. in a row.
Yes, that was definitely a much talked about thing. I think there's at least something to that.
With Lamar Jackson, and I know it's not 3 in a row, but do you think if all things are equal come late season, do you believe that there will be some voters who will say, yeah, things are even, so I'm not going to give it to Lamar Jackson because this would be his third?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I think it is slightly different. I think it is different from the Jokic thing just because of the historical, part of that. But
it's just something to plant in the back of your mind.
I think it definitely would be a thing. However, like we were talking off on the break, though, like, man, 18-1 feels long on a guy that you know that is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I found it. He was 14-15-1 entering last season. So, yeah. Like, you're longer than last year. Yes, he won MVP last season.
I'm just saying there are only 50 voters, right? There's only 50 voters. So if three people feel that way, right, all things being equal, let's say it comes down to Lamar versus Player X. And if three people use that as a reason, pardon me again, three people use that as a reason not to vote for Lamar Jackson, that could be the difference. That's so it
absolutely could be. Absolutely could be.
By the way, it was Wilt Chamberlain, who was the other three in a row in the NBA.
It's so tough with the NFL because, like, you always have to say this first. Like, we live in a world where everybody's healthy at the end of the
sure,
season, right?
Of course.
Like, where Lamar Jackson, though, as much crap as I give him sometimes, like, if at the end of the season he's probably in a conversation with like three or four other quarterbacks and that's it. Like, that's where I think his floor is at when he's on the field. So I don't know. 18-1. That's another bet. I wouldn't hate if anybody made going into the season. It's another one. They play Chiefs week one. They win that game. Like, who knows where that number's going rest of the season.
When Kelly and I did a little show we like to call Primetime Action with our buddy Matt Brown, there was a divorce of sorts that was forced upon us. And in the divorce, Matt got Teaser Tuesdays, right? And we got Win Total Wednesdays, which is what we start with once again this year.
I don't know what he got. We took Teaser Tuesday, too.
Well, you violated the terms of the divorce because that's the kind of person you are. That's what you did, Kelly Bidlin. Never get in a divorce arrangement with Kelly Bidlin. He will take what is not his. It's a lesson there.
We did give him something, but I'm blanking on what it was.
I think he got Teaser Tuesdays, and then we kind of like a year went by, and you're like, I'm going to take Teaser Tuesdays.
Well, wait.
By the way, why are we whispering?
I don't know.
Okay. So this is usually about adjusted season win totals during the season, right? We have a lot of fun with that during the season. And this is, again, the history of adjusted season win totals in legalized sports books is a very short one. This only started several years ago. First of all, the notion of season wins to begin with, right, which, you know, a lot of people feel came down with Moses' Ten Commandments. That only started in 1989 when someone walked up to Jimmy Vaccaro and said, could you put a little how many games you think the Cowboys are going to win this year? By the way, he was a Cowboy fan, so that's why I'm talking like that. And Jimmy Vaccaro said, oh, I'll put a number up for that. That was 1989. Adjusted season win totals have only been around for 4 weeks, except for those of us who participated in a very off-the-grid Lehman Brothers type stock market thing where you have a ask price and a, excuse me, a buy price and a sell price during the entire year. It was the greatest sports betting vehicle there ever was.
Once again, feds, if you're listening, Gil didn't have anything to do with organizing.
No, I'm just a participant. I never organized any of this. So we do it here with, we do it here because this is the pre-flop version of it. And this is just always a good reminder. This is Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis. These are his NFL teams with biggest rest disadvantages and advantages. Niners minus 21 games net rest this year. So they got the worst of it for a second straight year. The Ravens are the one with the best rest edge. But ultimately, the only two season wins that I have, the only two season win totals that I have in pocket right now are my two Steelers ones, under 8 wins, under 7.5. Those are plus 110 and plus 155 on the all season win total, respectively. There's the Ravens, by the way, off screen, plus 16 on their net rest edge. The Niners minus 21. That's a 37 day aggregate rest difference between the Ravens on the good end and the Niners on the bad end throughout an entire season. So all of this stuff, like, that's just one element, but all this stuff should be incorporated as a tool. It's not the end all be all, but it's an element in your handicapping of NFL season win total. So Steelers under 8 plus 110, Steelers under 7.5 plus 155. I did not, although I've talked about, I still haven't bet the Patriots under, excuse me. I never touched the Patriots. I don't have a bet on them in that market. The other one was the Commanders. Did I want to go over on that? And I never bet that either. I ended up betting Jaden Daniels at 7-1. So the only two pre-flops I have, because I will get into it adjusted during the season, Steelers under 8, Steelers under 7.5. You, sir?
Yeah, I got a few. I have 4 all unders, I believe. Yeah. Bears under 9.5. So I did play, I played the alt high under. So I am laying minus 165, but this is a pretty big bet for me.
What you did.
Yeah. It's one we rarely talk about.
You went oppo alt.
Right.
I see what you did.
Bet the alt high under at minus 165. This is where I'm like, I'm not trying to hate on the Bears. I think they can be a pretty good team this year, but I think that division's tough. I think that I don't think they have the easiest schedule in the world. I think we're still talking about a rookie quarterback. I think you're talking to get to 10 wins in that first season with Caleb Williams. That is asking a lot. Steelers, this is as much respect as I could give the Steelers as me just playing it at 8.5 kill and not going on the alts and going with the more plus money. So that's the only one I have made on Pittsburgh, although they are one of those teams. I think Cleve T.A. texted us yesterday, right? They're one of those teams that I've got notes on of, hey, check this week of where this team's at is in in-season additions.
Everybody should have a note like that for, if not every team, most teams.
Yeah.
Where does the schedule get harder? Where does it get easier? So that you can sort of, as an alarm to yourself of, oh, do I consider a bet here?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And things will change, right? Like, our perception of what will happen will absolutely change as the season progresses, but sometimes it works out that way.
And same thing like we brought up earlier, and we talk about live betting all the time. I want to get in on that now because I don't want to miss out, right? If there's not that opportunity doesn't present itself for us to come back in on an under on the Steelers that we feel confident in, right? So did want to get one bet in preseason on them, but definitely a team that I've got circled to look at in season as well. Giants went through with the alt under on them. I know that was one that Steve Fezzik was on. I love that Giants alt under as well. 5.5 plus 220, get all the way up there. And then I'm on Patriots everything. Last win list, fewest wins, under 4.5.
Yeah.
And I spread it out, Gil, because it's going to be like you want to hit something there, right? Like, you don't want the Patriots to wind up with 4 wins, but you only bet fewest wins when some team only ends up with like 3.
There is still plenty of time for me to add, and I think I might with some of these alts. And I like your Giants under 5.5, and I like your Patriots straight up under. Jason Weingart, we'll see if he has any season longs. He's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. The quest for $9.2 million. That is the name, Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. The name of the docuseries, episode 1, is at VSiN.com now. It's a 5-parter. inside look at the high-stakes world of the annual Circus Survivor contest as you follow the contestants from last year as they made their all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and went behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Episodes 2 through 5 next week, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, pardon me, on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details or to watch episode number 1. All had a good time doing that, and it was edited well. It was funny to watch. And again, Stormy prominently featured, which was awesome. Can't go wrong featuring Stormy. So it was a blast. It's going to be fun to see what's in 2 through 5 as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I kind of want to jump to the end. I just want to see what those the final weeks were like with all the negotiating and everything.
Well, the negotiating is a big the chop portion of things is so stressful. But it does a great job. The documentary does a great job of also.
I also don't know how much of that's in there. You know what I mean?
We don't know. We'll find out.
We've gotten some tweets too that were like, "Hey, they asked me to talk, and I didn't feel comfortable talking." You know, at this point in time, I didn't want to talk till afterwards.
I know that the villain guy, right, the poker player guy, is in there who didn't want to chop. Mm. They do a great job of showing the scoreboard from week to week. They did an episode 1.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they start with 9.2 million, and as the pot went down in the first few weeks. Need more Wishnev. They had Wishnev with an appearance. By the way, Todd Wishnev and I, we're workshopping something. Want to know what it is? Thanks for asking.
I didn't think you need that prompt. Is it a secret? Do you want to say
so
it?
Excited, Kelly Billy.
I couldn't tell if it was a Jason Weingarten NFL futures bet.
Oh, no. Yeah, by the way, that's a great answer from Jason. Half times of prime time games.
Okay.
Half times of, I don't know about Sunday nights, but Monday nights and Thursday nights, Wishnev and I think, are going to go on Twitter.
Hang out with Gil and Todd.
And we're going to do halftimes.
Cool.
Yeah. Like it. We'll do a little Twitter Spaces thing. And so for 10 minutes or however long halftime is, we'll just give our thoughts on the first half and possible bets heading into the second half.
Great idea. Yeah. Love it.
We'll do a Monday and Thursday nights. Me and Wishnev. You won't have to. Yeah, no, there's no secret on that one.
So yeah, I think it's a great idea. It's probably something we should be doing just more of anyways.
Yes, we should be doing more. So more Wishnev in the year 2024, in addition to being on the Megapod again with Will Hill, me and Todd Wishnev, which begins. So here's the podcast schedule. Drew and I are doing the U.S. Open preview podcast, Tennis Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
This on the heels of the Q3. And then we are going to do the first Megapod, the Wednesday, since it's a week one, we might do it a day early, the Wednesday before week one. We do want as much perfect information as possible. So Wednesday, week one. So what is
that, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now?
This is an outstanding question. I probably should have had this ready.
But you're doing it week of?
Week of. So we're not going to do week
three
one.
3 weeks from now, I think.
So week one begins on September 5th. So September 4th.
Yes.
Which is
2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks from today.
Yes, 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. So again, tennis podcast tomorrow. Then 13 days from then, we'll do our first Megapod. And then guessing lines for week number 2, it always starts week 2. And we do the live version of guessing lines that Monday. Kelly and I will do it here on a numbers game. And then it will be placed in podcast form.
It's only Wednesday. It's got to be the fourth time I've already thought this week. We're like 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Like 2 weeks.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I got to get signed up for contests. Yeah, I should probably do that here. I should probably do that.
And that week in between week 3 of the NFL preseason and the regular season does throw you off.
It really does.
In terms of the calendar. By the way, real quick before you get to your BMW thoughts, did you see how the Democratic National Convention did the roll call last night? This deserves a shout.
No, I did not.
Okay. You know what a convention, the roll call of conventions is usually something really really boring.
Yeah.
By the way, Democrat or Republican, it's usually the worst. It's really the most boring thing. For the great state of Florida, home of Kelly Bidlin, and a sports book where Calvin Ridley made a parlay bet and got banned from the league for a bit. You know, that they do boring than that, right? But they go state by state. It's usually like, state of Illinois, home of Abraham Lincoln, whatever, right? They do that kind of stuff. So they decided, they had a DJ last night who tailored songs to each state. So Alabama got Sweet Home Alabama, right? Okay, just to give an example. Tennessee was like Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, because she's from Tennessee. But they did it state by state. And, it was pretty interesting trying to telegraph or trying to figure out what state was going to get what song. Minnesota ended up with a Prince song. California, which they waited till the end because Kamala's from California, ended up doing being Dre. And then California Love with Dre and Tupac after that. So anyway, it was cool. DC ended up being, I was waiting for DC because I was like, is this going to be a go-go song? It ended up being DJ Flex, Let Me Clear My Throat. Do you know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was kind of cool. So shout out to, because everybody was texting about that last night, that at least they made what is usually a rote thing pretty interesting.
Yeah, the conventions are fascinating to me. I don't know, they almost feel like they belong in another century or something.
Oh, totally.
But, yeah.
Like, and as we talked about when we talked about political betting, apolitically speaking, there used to be a time in this country where it was high theater. But for the last 45 years, it's just an infomercial.
It just feels like there's way too much. It feels like there's a lot of effort for it to be that. When I watch these people talking, then you're just like, all right, this feels like it belonged in 1956.
Yeah. From a betting standpoint, though, there is the bump, right? Republican convention happens. There's a bump, and you'll see the Republican candidate move in the betting market as you will see after the Democratic convention. So it's
like Sunday Night Football. You see Patrick Mahomes in Sunday Night Football, and it's going to move a little bit.
Yeah. And there's still 76 days between now and the election. So that's the thing. Once you then get rid of these events, and this one will end on Thursday, but once you get rid of them, then it's actually like, okay, all that's behind us. All the hype is, and now it's going to be people fighting tooth and nail, and the bets will come, and they will be fascinating how the market moves up to election night. BMW Championship, the second of the three FedEx Cup events. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, has some bets. What do you got?
Yeah, leg card for me this week. We are at Castle Pines Golf Club in Colorado, just outside of Denver. So this is, if you're like me and you're like, hey, why do we play so many golf tournaments in California, Florida, and Texas? It's nice to see him mix it up a little bit, but this is what's tough about this from a handicapping perspective is it's a course we haven't seen in 18 years. So tough to figure out exactly data wise what you're getting out of it. The one I will caution people on is everybody's doing the hold altitude adjustments, right? Like this will be the longest course. I believe this will be the longest course ever played on the PGA Tour at 8,200 yards officially. But you know, it's at elevation or altitude, Gil? Elevation or altitude? It's at elevation.
At elevation.
It's at elevation. So you got to do the whole like adjustment for how far your ball's going to fly. And this is a big time caddy week. Caddy and players have all been out there all week trying to figure out exactly that. How far is my 7-iron going to go? How far are my wedges going to go? So I think from a betting perspective, it makes things pretty difficult too when this is... Approach is always going to be the most important stat. You kind of need to figure out where second shots, how far they're coming from. And when you don't really know, I think it makes it a little bit tougher. 50-man field, too. This is more of the way I attacked this betting-wise this week. It was more of a kind of bet numbers, which we say a lot. I feel like I say a lot in other sports, but we're so kind of data-driven with golf, and I would say tennis as well. But this felt a lot like the Olympics. When the odds board went up, it was, whoa, okay, it's a... Olympics was a 70-man field. This is a 50-man field, but that was Olympics 70, you could cross off 20 guys pretty easily that just had no shot whatsoever. And you're sitting there when these first went up, you're seeing Scottie Scheffler at plus 375, Xander at almost 7-1. I'm like, these are the same odds we've seen these guys at signature events this year that are way, you know, bigger fields, maybe not tough, right? You know, tougher fields because they are larger with other quality players. I'm not trying to slander the 48 other guys that are in this field because obviously they're very, very good. But when you're talking a smaller field and you're getting the same kind of pricing on guys like that, I think there's value at the top of the board.
So not as big of an adjustment as there should be, in your opinion.
Not, in my opinion, yes. Not as big of an adjustment as there should be. So at current numbers, this is what I was expecting to see. This is where we were at DraftKings right now. 3-1 on Scotty, plus 550 on Xander. I bet Xander at plus 650. He has, I think this is for the first time all season, surpassed Scottie Scheffler in, if you just went last 36 rounds at any point in the season, total strokes gained. Xander has surpassed Scottie Scheffler. He is actually the best right now in the past 36 rounds that those two guys have each played. And then it is a comical drop between where those two guys are at 1-2 and everybody else down the board. So I played Xander. Look, Colin Morikawa was so bad with his irons last week. I know I've kind of said I was going to bet him till the end here. I didn't plan to, except for now I'm seeing almost 19-1 here at Circa on Morikawa. That ended up being a bet for me. I will just be riding him to the end here. And then Tony Finau, 33-1, Utah guy, does have a little bit more experience playing up in altitude here and has been playing really well recently. So 33-1, just a few outrights for me this week.
What about in elevation instead of altitude? What
yeah, that? At elevation and altitude.
He's good at that as well. Just curious. Altitude from the floor to your butt. Elevation from your butt to sea level. Just want to point that out. We've done all we can do. Best bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.